Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
Mike Pilavachi, welcome back to Australia. Welcome to Open House.
It's great to be here.
You're looking very conservative, I must say, my friend. There's no African Larry ponchos or anything like that. You're turning down your image these days.
No, it's just it's very cold here first thing in the morning. So one of my African shirts, I'd probably die in it. So, yeah. No. They're going to come back.
You're an accountant before you became a pastor.
Well, I mean, I was an accountant, and then God rescued me from a life of boredom, drudgery, and meaninglessness. That's a joke for any accountants who are listening to this. That's not true. No, I was an accountant, but I was involved with the youth work at my church, and then one day, the pastor of my church asked to see me, and he asked me if I'd do it full time. And it's what I'd always wanted to do. And so it didn't take much time to think about that, the answer to that. And that's when it all started, really, in a new way.
And so that has led on to the Soul Survivor Church and the Soul Survivor Conference. Let's talk about the Soul Survivor Church. Very, very youth-oriented.
Well, I was a youth pastor of a great church just outside London, and it was wonderful. But what I noticed was whatever we did, we only saw a trickle of completely unchurched young people coming to Jesus, and we longed for more. And I was puzzled by that. And then I just got this dream. Wouldn't it be wonderful to try and plant a church in the culture of those who are not yet in the church and to try and speak to them in their language and see what happens? And so I went, there was 11 of us. We went to the, we were blessed by our church. They sent us out and supported us to the nearby town of Watford. And we just opened the cafe. I went into schools, told a few jokes, said, if you want to come, come and hang out with us on a Friday night. We hired a neutral venue. And I said, we're Christians, but I promise we won't go on at you about Jesus. And we just want to serve you and give you a place to hang out. Well, they started coming and we befriended them. And after a while, they started asking us questions because what we said was we will wait until they ask the questions and then we'll try and tell them our story. And then they started asking, could we come on a Sunday? And on a Friday, Matt Redman, who was our worship leader on a Sunday, he and the band on a Friday night, they would do covers of songs in the charts, like Wonderwall, I remember they did to death, and it was a terrible version. And we just did all that stuff. Well, on a Sunday, we hired the same hall, and it looked the same, and it was Matt and the band. So when the kids came in, they said, wait a minute, we know this. This is home. This is our place. And then they'd see Matt and they'd say, hey, Matt, are you going to do Wonderwall tonight? And he would say something like, well, I think I might do one or two songs I wrote tonight. It would be the same guys that were having fun and doing karaoke with the kids on the Friday night that did the worship on the Sunday night. And we tried to build the bridge and help them come across it. And they did. And so folks started coming to meet Jesus. They started getting their lives transformed. And that's how we started, really.
Now, I'm interested, when the young folks of Watford actually started asking questions, what were the questions they asked you about spiritual matters? What were the key top-of-mind things that they wanted to know?
Oh, I tell you, it was I couldn't even give you the top three because it was so individual. And that taught us a real lesson. Their questions were not what we thought they would be. They weren't our esoteric questions. They weren't the general questions of the problem of suffering. They were things like, my stepdad abused me and it kills me. What do I do? How do I make sense of that? And so it was working through the problem of suffering in that girl's life. And that answered, in a sense, the big question. And then there were all sorts of other questions about how does this relate to me? How does what you say relate to me? And they wanted reality. I think there's an absolute place for apologetics. There's an absolute place for thinking through the issues of our world and working out the biblical answers and even the biblical questions to challenge our world. Because sometimes we've been too good at trying to give the answer rather than helping people to ask questions. But so many of the questions that those kids were asking were about their lives and how does this all relate to me in my situation.
So from there you then launched the Soul Survivor Conference, which has, I guess, taken the same concept to so many more people. Tell me about the growth of that, and also tell me, I guess, the kinds of things that you're seeing happen to the kids as a result of that conference, the kind of transformation you're seeing.
Yeah, well, there's a limit to what a conference can do, and we're not daft about that. You know, what we say to the kids is the test of this week is the next 51 weeks of the year. That's when we find out if this week's been any good. But what the festival does is it's a place where, you know, like last summer we had 28,000 kids came all together. They all started bringing their friends who aren't yet Christians, because what we try and do is the same values. We try and be relational. We have loads of cafes, loads of venues, loads of places to hang out. But then we also meet all of us together twice a day. And in that context, we're trying to build relationships with God and with each other. And so they invite their friends. And last summer, we saw 2,400 kids give their lives to Jesus for the first time, which for our country is amazing. And what I love, the fruit is everywhere I go, I meet people who say, I became a Christian at Soul Survivor, and now I'm doing this. But also, what we try and do is, through the worship as well as the teaching, to capture a vision of Jesus, who he is. Because when people's hearts are captured, everything else follows. But then also to give them a vision, to help them get a vision of who they can be and what they can do in his name. And the vision is, weak old us, with all our frailties and all our failings, with God we can change the world. God can use us in our weakness to make a difference to a broken and hurting world. And then we try and give them a vision of the kingdom, what the kingdom is in its fullness. You know, that it's about people coming to faith in Jesus, but it's also about caring for the poor and the broken and the marginalized and the dispossessed. That signs of the kingdom are miracles and healings as well, but it's all of it. It's all of it. It's acting justly and living holy and speaking and proclaiming with passion and conviction the good news that underlies those other two things.
Mike Pelavacci is with us on Open House. Theopenhouse.net.au has the podcast. On that, then, tell me about Slum Survivor.
Oh, wow, you know about Slum Survivor. Well, again, what we do a lot in other countries, and we've been talking about justice and the poor and the biblical mandate to not just be in it for ourselves and the people like us, but if the good news is good news, the good news has to be for the poorest of the poor, because Jesus was anointed to bring good news to the poor. So we started teaching on that, and kids came forward and responded, and they cried, and you know, they were like, we've got a real passion for the poor, our hearts break everything. And I thought, this is great. But one evening someone came up to me, and as all the kids were crying in the ministry time, and he said, you know, Mike, tears never fed anyone. And I thought, he's right. And I thought, we actually need to find a way of earthing this. And so we started something called Soul Action with a relief agency called Tear Fund. So it's a joint thing, and they've got the expertise. So now we send kids out all over the world to serve. We get them involved in praying for people who are broken, for raising money. And Slum Survivor is one project like that. Kids this year in youth groups and schools all over the country have been taking weekends to live for a weekend, as billions of people in the world have to live for a lifetime. And they make a slum, and they build it, and they live there for a weekend, and they live on the rations of somebody who would be in that state and couldn't say no. And they learn about what it must be like, but also they get sponsored, and the money has been pouring in. I mean, already the kids have sent in over £150,000,
wow,
which is well over 3,000 Australian dollars, I think.
300,000, yeah.
Yeah, 300,000 Australian dollars. And more is coming in, like, every day. And the amazing thing about that is folk who aren't yet Christians have been involved. Whole schools have been doing this. And then as part of it, these kids have been hearing about why. And they've been thinking, so, your faith, causes you to want to make a difference in the real world. We thought it was just this private religious thing, and they wanted to know more. And then kids are coming to know Jesus because they see that this is relevant. And that's amazing. We never planned it like that. We never for a moment thought of it as an evangelistic opportunity. And the main thing is we want that money to go to kids who are living in slums and have no hope so that they would have hope. Yes. But what's been happening so far is the kids in my country who have been doing this have been changed on the way.
That's exciting. You know, all of this, of course, is based around the person of Jesus. For you, Mike, personally, what most enamours you about Jesus?
So many things. The main thing is that he is so unique. He is holy. He is pure. And yet, he's also gentle and merciful and kind and gracious and compassionate and forgiving. And the thing is, most people that I've met in my life who have been holy and pure and righteous have also been slightly intolerant of people who are less than holy and pure and righteous. And in Jesus, I see someone who is everything I would love to be, but who is also compassionate towards me and forgiving and gracious and merciful. He's changed my life. And, you know, I wasn't a Christian. I wasn't brought up in a Christian home. I had a lot of issues, a lot of pain growing up. And then one day I met Jesus and he introduced me to his Father, who became my Father. It completely changed everything for me because I found someone who knew everything about me and didn't walk away. And there's not many people we can say that about. Someone who knows everything about me and is still here. And that's Jesus.
We hope you enjoy this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.